Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk about biohacking, what it is, how it works, and what some of our favorite devices are for its purpose. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to pick up the conversation where we sort of left it off. We were talking about saunas and some of these questions we get from members on other things they can do around biohacking. From our perspective, like that's probably in the 80-20, that's right at the top of the 20. You start there. Some other stuff that comes up a lot, and I'm just going to name a few real quick, are things like getting zapped is what they call it on the PEMF mats. I got this question the other day about these vibration plates that continue to, I thought they were popular 10 years ago, but apparently they're coming back around. People are asking questions on that stuff again. So we've got that stuff. And then there's other, you know a lot more, Jim, about this stuff, like some of the meditation headbands or the brain tap, which is really cool. So let's talk a little bit more about the techie gadgets that are probably, if there's 100 of them out there, maybe these 4 or 5 that might be worth paying attention to.
Sure. So the kind of most low tech, but reasonable one is the whole body vibration plates. And there is a wide variety and a bunch of different brands, but the basic idea is you stand on a plate, the plate vibrates, and in response to the vibration, your body starts having what they call micro contractions, basically to keep you from falling over. And so your legs, your abs, everything, you're kind of balancing, and it's vibrating your whole body. Now, this does a few things. One is that if you did no strength training, this would help with your bone density because the vibrations inside the bones would produce mechanical loading beyond just standing there. Uh-huh. And so it turns out they were testing it with like astronauts and stuff. And then someone said, well, why don't we just have them do strength training? So that didn't go well. But it turns out it also increases lymphatic flow. So your immune system, when it neutralizes something that it needs to get rid of, it like throws it in the garbage bin. And that's your lymphatic system. Now, your blood vessels have a pump. It's the heart. And it pumps the blood. The blood has a motive force through the body. The lymph system, which is your body's garbage exhaust clearance, it doesn't have a pump. So it works by gravity, and it works through time, and it works through people jump on trampolines for this person. You know when you get sick and your lymph nodes swell up? It's backed up, right? So we need to keep that moving. And this probably, I would say, the best use of the whole body vibration is that you stand on it, even just 5-6 minutes in the morning, helps drain out your lymphatic system.
Oh, cool.
And so it's this whole system goes through the body just like your circulatory system that transports the blood, but it doesn't have a pump. So you need to help it along normally through an active daily life. You're fine. But if you're having an issue with that, this is a great use of it. And then the next thing is I've mentioned in a previous episode, the piezoelectric effect. We were talking about bone density and about how mechanically loading the bone causes an electric current to be produced. And it turns out when you vibrate yourself, your mitochondria, they bump into each other and the organelles and the cells all rub together very, very rapidly and create a voltage from this. And so it increases that fourth phase water that we were just talking about in the previous episode, increasing your cellular energy. So we have a little bit of a bone density, not as much as like the machines and strength training, but a little bit if you did nothing else. And then the lymphatic drainage for your immune system to clear out waste, and then adding to your cellular energy through a piezoelectric effect of the physical jumbling up of the.
And so if you're doing one of these, and I want to ask you about a fourth thing I think I heard about recently, and I don't know if this is a study or if it was a theory. I think it was a study, but it was this idea that if you have a pretty good quality version of one of these plates, they're starting to realize that it helps with your gut. And I think it's because it sort of can shake some things up, so to speak, when it comes to dysbiosis and what's going on with the bacteria. Have you heard anything around that?
Yeah, and maybe the ones like PowerPlate, I'd have to say, is the most well-known, probably the highest quality of these types of plates. And all the gut microbiome understands is violence. So if you shake them up and you see, stop it, you dysbiosis and you SIBO and I'm just kidding. I actually haven't heard of that.
Okay.
I don't know about that and how it would relate to the gut, but for whatever reason, it could be a constellation of factors, but that's awesome. That's really cool. I have to look into that.
So if you buy one of these things, name that one again.
PowerPlate.
Cause like most of this stuff, not all things are created equal. You know, marketing will be like, hey, this is $200, this one's $1,500, and they're the same. They're not the same. Right. But what would be the protocol? Like, what's the most effective sort of, like, what do you need? How often do you need this? How long?
I suppose it depends on the purpose. If you're using it for general health and immune system type function, I would do, 5 minutes in the morning, and 5 minutes as you turn in, like kind of after dinner and in the evening. If you're doing it, you can do it as a warm-up or as a cool-down before or after a workout, if you like. So this can enhance blood flow and get your bites kind of like a warm-up, because it's many muscles doing many small, tiny things, these micro-contractions. So you're flexing small bits of muscle fiber all over the body and can get you more mentally prepared to exert, you know, force. And then on the back end, you can clear out waste product out of your large skeletal muscles through this process. It's like a, imagine milking a cow, but it's that a bunch of times per second for, so all the lactic acid, all the pyruvate, all the buildup, the exhaust, the metabolic byproducts of fatigue that are pooled up in the muscle cell, those can all be gotten rid of through that. So those would be uses for it too. So you don't need to be on it for 20 minutes or something, just five.
Sounds miserable.
Yeah, five, maybe 10. It's when you come off, you're a little bit dizzy, and you know, so 5 minutes is totally fine. It's more about the consistency of the practice.
All right, cool. So now tell me a bit about this PEMF technology.
So PEMF stands for Pulsed Electromagnetic Field. And the Pulsed Electromagnetic Field technology is a technology that applies a voltage to your body for the purpose of enhancing your cellular energy. And the pitch goes that used to be we were connected to the earth most of the time. And we are in the sun, powered wirelessly from the sun, hardwired into the ground. Like, so it's Ethernet, your feet on the ground, and then it's Wi-Fi from the sun, created a circuit, and this is how we were powered. We also had the magnetic field from the earth powering all of our cells. Every cell that you have must divide, and the division of the cell must be accurate. And if it is not, there's a malfunction that happens. It gets malformed, and a bunch of stuff can go bad at that point. It could turn cancerous. It could seek immortality by multiplying itself and kind of dominating and growing into a tumor and things like that. So the division, the mitosis, is really, really important. Now, it takes a certain amount of millivolts that they can measure, the millivolts on a cell membrane. And there's some threshold, I don't remember the exact number, but there's some threshold below which mistakes are more likely to be made, and above which you're good. You have cellular energy. So these days, we don't have our bare feet on the ground. We're not in the sun nearly as much as we were before because they told us it was bad. And then, the thing that provides life for the whole planet. Yeah, don't do that. Not good. Anyway, so they told us sun bad and stay indoors and put this goop on you, your largest organ. Yeah, just put that goop on there. It's funny to look at graphs, too, of like skin cancer and sunscreen rates. Like,
oh, man.
Because we didn't have any skin cancer for like, it was a couple hundred, well, thousands of generations of in the sun. And we didn't have a lot. And then as soon as in the 20th century, it started.
It means to be inside.
What could be the problem? I just don't understand.
You've got houses for at least on you.
Yeah, so crazy. Anyway, so now we also lose energy to our environment through our technology. So through the Wi-Fi signals, through the phones in our pockets, we have energy leaking out of the system. So instead of coming into the system, we're losing it. So we're not getting it from the natural sources that we normally have, and we're losing it out to our environment. How do we restore this cellular energy? And the pulsed electromagnetic field technology is designed to do that. And there are different ways to test your, you could put a filament in and in vivo figure out the millivolts on some cell membrane. Very difficult to do. Takes a lot of money. The in-body scan has something called phase angle, which is kind of a proxy for this, and it's pretty reliable. In fact, the guy who invented the pulse setters, PEMF beds and mats and with the coils, he got his tested. It's like one of the highest they've ever seen of the phase angles. So anecdotally, at least for him, it was working. But regardless, the application is many. There's mats you can buy. I spoke of pulse centers. They have these circular coils wrapped in a material, and you lay on the bed, or it's just in a chair, and they also have just the handheld. So there's different levels. But basically, it looks like you're being shocked, but it's not painful. It's almost like a massage, but it's being done with voltage instead of someone's hands. And over a 30-minute session, let's say, over time, you end up improving every cell's ability to do its job. So it's like, what does it help with? Well, I don't know. Whatever your cells need to do. They need the energy to do it, and they need the energy to properly divide. And then
that's so cool.
So it's huge in equestrian circles. That's where they really got big. Was because horses don't complain. This is weird. It feels like you're shocking me. They apparently have no problem with it. They haven't said a thing. But anyway, you put these big PEMF mats over the top of a horse, and they end up loving it. Like, they think it's weird at first, but then they end up loving it. They feel good. When the PEMF guy shows up, they could see his van, and they get all excited. And so it's really at the base level of cellular energy production.
Wow.
And so that's the principle of it. And it's highly effective. The sicker you are, the more effective it is. If everything's just basically fine, you might not even feel much. Mm-hmm. But from my experience with it, if someone's like fit and healthy and they get on it, they go, yeah, everything's fine except my right shoulder. Really, it's really hurting my right shoulder. And then the technician goes, well, did you ever have any injuries in your right shoulder? Yeah, when I was in high school, I was a pitcher and I threw out my, and I really messed up my shoulder. So it kind of goes where it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
So any kink in the chain, your body should flow electricity smoothly everywhere. When it doesn't, because of an old injury and your body stays in trauma even after the danger is gone, and you need to loosen it back up, there's a kink in the hose. The voltage won't flow. And so now you're flooding the system with voltage and that it all goes to the bottleneck. And then slowly over time, it gets worked out. You get the kink out of the hose and you're off.
Cool.
So it's a real cool technology and probably going to be a lot of advances where it becomes higher quality and more affordable over time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I know some of the really, really good ones are very, very expensive.
It's pretty penny. Yeah.
40, 50, 60, I don't know, thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go and, you know, for not too much money, you can just pay someone in one of their studios to do this. There's also less expensive mats that you can either purchase and just keep it at your house.
Yeah.
Or I know I've seen on Facebook people being like, hey, let me shock you. And they'll show up to your house and pull it out of their trunk and do the thing
right
for you.
Right, yeah.
Because they've invested in it. But I agree. It seems like some of the technology, since I've been following it, it seems like the technology that's going to get higher quality, less expensive over time.
Right.
But, you know, in the spirit of this episode, one that's worth paying attention to. So we've got the sauna. We've done cold therapy before. We'll talk in a second about actually right now. What's the difference between that, if there is any, or the benefit to cryotherapy? Cryotherapy centers are things you see pop up everywhere. And then I think any other, you could just tie right into any other, because there's a million devices, but any other ones you found to be pretty great and pretty profound for the price.
Right. I'd say cold exposure or cold thermogenesis, so creating heat. Cold thermogenesis is a genre of salutary thing you could administer, mm-hmm. you know, treatment. And it's exposing the body to cold for the purpose of provoking a response. And the differences are cryotherapy mostly refers to, you guys have seen those cylinders that you climb into. You put the gloves and the robe and you climb in as liquid nitrogen. And it looks like you're Mr. Freeze from Batman in the 90s. And chill out. And then it's only 2.5 minutes mm-hmm. tops, and it gets really, really cold. And it's very quick, but it's really, really cold, and then you're done. Then there's cold tubs.
Mm-hmm.
And cold tubs are like the Morosco Forge. It's a great company. There's Chili Pod. There's a bunch of companies now. And you just get into cold water. And that ranges from, I mean, 50, 60 degrees is not all that cold, but you get to shivering yeah. at 10 minutes or so. And anything colder than 98.7 degrees is technically cold thermogenesis because it's colder than you are.
Right.
So it's making you heat up. Then there's, you keep it at 33 degrees. Like back in the day when I had a meat freezer and I plugged all the drains and I kept it out of my back patio and I had a timed outlet where I would only have it on between the hours of 12 and 3 overnight. And that was enough to keep, and I filled it with water and I kept it at 33 degrees wow. instead of fill it with meat. And I would get out there and at solar noon, and I would get it because UV light soaks into the skin much more readily at the colder skin temperature. And there's a threshold, it might be 55 degrees, something like that. And I bought a little, the guns where you could see what the surface temperature of something is.
Yeah.
And I would kind of lift my leg out, hit it with the gun. And as soon as it was 55, I'd reach the threshold. And then I'd go lay out in the lawn without drying myself off and just shiver in the sun. It was awesome. I felt like $1 million. But it's longer duration. But less, it's more for long-term benefit. Whereas the cryotherapy is like, my knee hurts now.
Mm-hmm.
I have, like, I'm an athlete and I need to play tomorrow. I need to heal this right now. And this is, it's like a laser target inside the joints. It sinks deep into the body. It's like for acute mm-hmm. issues. Whereas the cold tub and repeated habitual cold exposure, that's more for long-term, long-standing issues, long-term health. Yeah. And we talked about it in that other episode, but all those benefits that you get from cold exposure, and it's honestly, it's easier to just get in the cold water.
Yeah.
So that measure, but if you're a professional athlete, that's why they're all doing the 2.5-3 minutes in the cryotherapy with the liquid nitrogen. And also a lot of the business owners are finding it's kind of a pain. to fill up a giant vat full of liquid nitrogen. Then the truck comes every couple of weeks and refills it. If you don't use it, it's too bad. You still got to pay for it. So there's a lot of, if you're trying to start a business like that, there's some hiccups. But if you have the cold tub, then people have to dry off and change. You need room for that.
Yeah.
But as far as the effect of it, probably it's just for
more potent.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Do I need a greater effect right now? And miss out on some of the long-term benefits? Or do I just want the long-term benefits to the immune system and to your energy production and insulin sensitivity and all those types of things?
Yeah. I tell you what, let's do two more. I'll get specific on them. So one, I would be remiss if we didn't do hyperbaric chambers. And then I think you should talk about the brain tap.
Sure.
And then honestly, all those, you've talked about this before, we will do a quick section at the end of this episode on how you can get the effect of all of these things we're talking about that are thousands of dollars for free.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go through those really quickly. But yeah, what can you say about the hyperbaric? And then we can go into brain tap.
So hyperbaric therapy is where you change the barometric pressure that your body thinks it is in. You've heard of blood doping. Mm-hmm. Blood doping is where you train at high altitude because at high altitude, lower barometric pressure, every hemoglobin molecule, every red blood cell can hold on to more oxygen and then deliver more oxygen to the tissues. So you become, that's why training at high altitude is a thing, because you get trained to hold more oxygen per one red blood cell. Now you train that way, then you take as much blood as you can out of yourself and you freeze it and then you send it to France for a bike race.
So it seems oddly specific.
No, just any country, could be, let's say France, and it's whatever event, could be, I don't know, strongman, basketball, biking, bicycles. So you're riding bicycles in France, and then you take your stuff out of the cooler, you thought, and you put it back into yourself. So now more of your blood, which now can't carry as much oxygen because you're back sea level, but now you're full of the super blood.
Right.
The reason this blood became super was because in the presence of low barometric pressure, the red blood cells gain the ability to hold more and more oxygen for the purpose of delivering it to the working muscles and all the tissues that need it. So turns out you can do this. You don't have to bicycle up in the Alps or something. You could actually just get in one of the hyperbaric chambers. Mm-hmm. And there's not just athletic benefit to being able to hold more oxygen. Hypoxia, a state of low oxygen, is present in a lot of diseases and a lot of conditions of malformation or a decrement to your health of many different kinds. So the idea is a hypoxic condition is bad, not good.
Yeah.
And so by doing these sessions in the hyperbaric, and you could have your computer in there and do work and just hang out, read a book, but just getting that stimulus to your red blood cells allows them to upregulate the amount of oxygen they can hold, and it persists because a red blood cell lives for about 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. So the more of your red blood cells you can turn over to express phenotypically like this, the more oxygen you will be able to take in. You breathe like normal, but all of a sudden more of it's getting through the lungs, through the bronchioles, into the red blood cells, and that gas transfer becomes more and more efficient because every red blood cell can carry a heavier load of more oxygen.
So yeah.
It's excellent for healing injuries. It's excellent for athletic performance, mental clarity, lifts brain fog. It's really potent.
There's places that are specifically hard to heal too because they don't get enough oxygen in your blood, like the capillaries and tendons and joints.
Yep.
My wife was an ER nurse for years, and the number one thing they do for burn victims is put them right into a hyperbaric chamber because it starts to flood the healing piece. So that's one that a lot of people don't talk about, but I've had quite a few situations where people come to me with this or that, and I'm like, you know, the one thing I think you could do out even above sauna, et cetera, would just be go do some sessions in a hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah.
And it's so accessible these days.
Right.
All right, you want to wrap it up with the brain tap? I know you're a fan. A lot of us are.
Yeah, I've been using the brain tap since 2021, and I found it at a conference, a biohacking conference where I was, and I had been hearing about it, and I hadn't tried it, and I've been meditating a long, long time, back in my teen years and forward, and you might relate to this. You guys might relate to this too if you've been meditating. There's a point in the meditation, usually for me it's 30, 35 minutes in, where I finally like sink really deep, and your eyes sort of, my eyelids are closed, but it's as if I'm looking upwards, and it kind of gets locked in there, and that's how I know I've sunk really deep. But I'm so distracted before that, my mind is going a mile a minute, and it takes a while. But once I get to, I'm like, okay, now whatever it is that I'm doing, mindfulness or visualizing or whatever the meditation's about, I know I'm really in there, in the sweet spot when that happens. So I book a spot at the trade show. All right, I'll be back at 3:30. And they pick me up one of those gravity chairs with a blanket, and they put the thing on. And real quick, the brain tap is a It's headphones with a fold-down visor, and so it's sound, and there's also red lights in the earpieces, so it's sound and light, and then they also use light in front of you. You close your eyes, but the light travels through your eyelids, and the right eye gets what the left ear gets, and the left eye gets what the right ear gets, so you have left brain, right brain coherence across the entire brain, and the idea is it functions on a bunch of different things. There's isochronic tones, which is just like metronome-type beats. There's binaural beats, which you're probably familiar with, where if you play something at 440 hertz and something at 450 hertz, so like a 440 and then a 450 hertz, your brain will reconcile that and will begin to emanate a vibration that you can measure in an EEG, an electroencephalogram, that'll be 445 hertz. So it'll just reconcile those two. So if you want to entrain the brain, and because it's trying to match its environment, so if you put two tones that are equidistant, it'll find the middle. And so you can train it into different brainwave states. You have beta brainwaves like we're using right now. If you were to close your eyes and take a breath, you'd be down in the alpha brainwaves. If you started to fall asleep, because we've been in the studio for a while and I could use a little nap, theta brainwaves would be right on the border between waking and sleeping. And then delta brainwaves would be the slowest. That's deep sleep where you're paralyzed and you hallucinate. And so that's what we all do every night. the idea is it can entrain those different brainwave states. And using these lights and these sounds and all this brain entrainment, it can, and there's words that are spoken as well. So Patrick Porter, the guy who runs Dr. Patrick Porter, he leads on guided meditations. There's other people. He has guests on there as well in the app. And anyway, so it takes you through like sleep cycles, but quick. So in 20 minutes, you can dip down into deep sleep and then back up, and it can train all these brainwave states. And there's a few ways it can be used. One, it can be like a digital coffee. They have little 10-minute programs where it's bringing you up out of sleep, and it drops you off in like high-functioning alpha. You're orderly for the day. You're coherent. You're ready to rock. You're focused. And then my favorite one is probably the afternoon nap. So I'll take whatever the 20-minute thing is, and instead of taking a power nap or something, I'll just do a brain tap, and it takes me through sleep cycles, and it organizes all my brain patterns so that I'm not distracted and chaotic up here so that I can focus. And then off and on, I've used it right before sleep, and then you kind of set it to the side and roll over and then go to bed. That's, speaking of the wearables, my Oura Ring showed me that it did enhance my deep sleep over time using that. So that's probably the best of the meditation type bands. I know the Muse headband is a cool idea, but it does broadcast like kind of into your brain a little bit to sense. And I don't so much like that, but it's a great idea. That's where it's a sensing headband. It doesn't give you anything. It plays sounds of birds and storms. And the birds, it's like a nice day at the beach when you are focused and you want to get the birds.
Yeah.
But when you start to get distracted, it can sense your brainwaves and you start to hear the storm.
So you get the biofeedback and your brain starts to know what it feels like to meditate properly.
Right.
And it gets better at it over time.
Yeah. And that's very useful. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then there's NeurOptimal is another one. It's a little less engaging and kind of happens automatically, but same idea. But I'd say BrainTap is kind of the 80-20. It's just use it once, twice, or three times per day. It's quick. It's easy to use. And the team is really cool. I met the guys at a bunch of conferences and can't speak highly enough about the team.
Cool. Yeah. I'll and we'll wrap this up. I'll channel my my good friend Dan Miller and say, and you talked about this earlier, Jim, these devices are awesome. Sadly, we live in a world where we've had to come up with lots of cool technology to hack our way back towards what was just natural. The best way you could experience a lot of the stuff we talked about today would be just to go camp in like the Front Range of Colorado and jump in the lake and get cold at night and get hot during the day and have some hypoxia and put your feet on the ground and practice breathing. And so all these things are hacks that
it's all free.
Come natural if you're living out in nature. And so you can experience that. But we don't. And people are busy and they're doing things in life. And so these are some cool ways to get access to these things. And they do work.
Yeah, it's second best. But it very much beats the alternative of not doing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, I learned a lot today, which is new.
Yeah. Nice. I'm really glad I could have an impact finally after 80,000 episodes.
Absolutely. All right. Cool, man. We'll catch up soon.
Oh, yeah. Next time. See you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.